Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Woody, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Courtney Johnson. Courtney is a second-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2022, and I think you're really going to enjoy hearing her story. As Courtney notes in this conversation, she's had a number of life changes over the past, let's call it a year and a half, new addition to her family, new job, moved across the country, and so much more. Courtney's example is a wonderful testament to the fact that life goes on while you're an Executive MBA student, and yes, you can do this program all at the same time. So without further ado, here's my interview with Courtney Johnson. Courtney, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, in preparation for this conversation, I was reflecting on your interview. I can remember sitting here in person, sans family grounds, a couple years or so ago, when you were just starting off on this path. It's one of the cool things about this job. You get to see people, you know, progress on this journey. So congratulations on being effectively like four-ish months to the end of the program and graduation. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Don't know that I would have thought that when we interviewed that I would be in this spot today. So I'm grateful.
And when I think about your story, and we'll certainly get to this, I think of you as someone who's had a lot of life events during the program.
Yeah, that was one of the things I reflected on before coming to chat and kind of what the journey's been. It's been somewhat of a battle, I would say, but a well-fought, well-won one for sure.
All right. Well, first and foremost, how are you doing? I should note for our listeners who won't be able to see you on camera that you're calling in from work and you have a very busy job right now. So how's everything going?
It's good. As we've discussed and noted, I do currently have a very busy job as an operations manager at Amazon Air. So a lot of packages coming in and out, making sure we're getting those customer promises and everyone gets their Christmas packages. I'm doing okay. Thursday, I work Sunday through Wednesday with an extra day during the month of December for peak. So I'll get off tonight at 4:30. So I'm on my, let's just say 50 plus ish hour because we work 12 to 13 hour days. So I'm right at the tail end of my week and I'm ready for the weekend.
I just want to make sure I heard you correctly. You get off this evening at 4:30 or tomorrow morning at 4:30?
This evening. I got here at 3 a.m. Okay. I leave around 4:30 p.m.
Okay. All right. Well, I think your podcast host would wilt under that kind of schedule. So 3 a.m. is an early start to the workday. Maybe you're adjusted to it by now.
You get adjusted to whatever you need to. I think the military prepared me a little bit for it, and I live very close to work on purpose. So all in all, it's just, you know, it's the work you have to do. And if they need you where they need you, you're there. And they make it fun. It's fun to be there. So
your point about your relative proximity to your job is, it's all coming together for me, Courtney. I'm starting to understand why you wanted a short commute if your day starts at 3 a.m. So
exactly.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about your background. So tell us your story. Who are you and what did you do before coming to Dartmouth?
Bringing back to the interview, right? Before the interview, a lot of these things were not who I was at the moment. I have developed a lot in the last, 18 months. I'm currently a mother, so I have a 14-month-old. So that's kind of the top of my list, I would say. Married to a wonderful spouse, have, family and wonderful friends around me. So I would say me as a person in a nutshell is kind of just a very committed, driven, compassionate person in this moment that we're in. And I'm sure we'll go into kind of where I've been in the last year, because it is a lot of my Darden journey. but before that, I stated a little bit earlier, but I was in the military just under 10 years in the Marine Corps. Absolutely loved every moment of it. I worked in aviation, so I flew in the F-18 I always have to clarify I was in the back seat because some people immediately start asking me pilot questions. And while I appreciate and understand them, it's not what I did. I was more of a communicator and a director in the back seat. So I did that. I unfortunately was injured in the military and very fortunate, to be honest, to be directed to Walter Reed and to have a lot of recovery focused on my injury. And they spent a lot of time taking care of me. And eventually we discovered that it wasn't going to be fixed. And so I exited another part of my Darden journey, exited the military right at the beginning of the program. So my life, to your point, has changed a lot in the last 18 months.
Well, one of the things that is a tremendous honor, privilege of my role is I've had a chance to meet so many incredible service members from the United States Armed Forces. I did not come to Darden knowing much about the military at all. And I have a chance to meet active duty service members, veterans, people who are at all points in this journey and thinking about their next step. Maybe an MBA is part of their growth in the military and moving up. And then maybe it's part of facilitating a transition as they look to separate and trying to figure out that next thing. How did you decide that you wanted to pursue an MBA?
It's funny that you brought up the military part because that's fascinating to me. And our class especially has a lot of military in it. And it's very communal in nature just because you feel at home. And so from a military perspective, especially for Darden, it felt so much like home. Like I don't have to reach when I'm trying to communicate with other people, and a lot of people speak the same language or they work in government. And the location also helps, right? Like a lot of people in Northern Virginia understand. And so that's very helpful as you're making that transition. The question was my journey, right? Okay. So let's see. I originally had not planned on getting an MBA, didn't really see it as a place. I originally wanted to join the military to be a lawyer. And as I was in the process of doing that journey, realized that I wasn't as passionate about law school. I loved not the practice of it, but the theory of it. And there isn't really a place to practice that. And it's a lot of work just to get to the theory. So I then, you know, did the military thing, really loved it. Aviation was something I had literally no idea about. They just said, hey, I have this job. Do you want it? And I said, don't know anything about it. And they said, you don't need to, which they were right. Hard work can get you just about anywhere you need to be. I did the schooling, mastered the aviation side of the life. And while I was in that role in the military, I was given a really unique opportunity to serve in operations. And I just found this innate sense that it spoke to me. It brought out my passion. I just every day was so excited to be kind of in it, whether it be in the like immediate operation or the long-term operation. I loved it. And so it really turned a light bulb on. And after my injury, you're trying to find something, right? Like you're not that person. So who are you now? And when I started to do a lot of the recovery, finding that was really helpful for me to know that like, hey, operations is where I want to go. So then I looked into, you know, what is operations as you get out, and, you know, chief operations officer kept coming up. So I looked into it. Most of them recommended that it would benefit if you had an MBA. So I was like, okay, well, what's this MBA thing? To be honest, hadn't ever even really looked into it. Just thought it was another degree. And I loved school, but I wasn't sure if I really wanted to go back and put money into something unless I was absolutely sure it's what I wanted to do. So then I, to your point, met you, Brett, and met some different people in the local area because I was living in Northern Virginia at the time. And really the site visits, the people I encountered, and the program and what it stood for and who, like the quality of the education we were going to get spoke to me. It wasn't for me, the numbers are great and I want to know, but it's a lot more than that, right? Like it's the way in which you choose to use your business acumen. It's the way in which you choose to stand up as a leader. And I didn't want to lose who I was in the program that I chose. And I'm sure we'll get to kind of like what I thought of Darden so far, but I wanted to be very purposeful, and it took me 2 years to decide. And I'm so glad that I took that time. One, because I got to be with the classmates I'm currently with and I love them. I'm sure I would have loved either class, but I just think I was in the right time, even though my life changed drastically after I got accepted. Because when I was accepted at that time, I had a job that I was going to be in the military the entire time through the program was the plan and was what I knew. And it was just me and my husband. And so I thought, this is going to be great. I have so much time. I'm going to be able to dedicate it. My job was mostly focused on me recovering. And then, you know, as everyone has experienced in the last 24 months, life can change very quickly. I found out my injury was not going to be repaired. I was going to be getting out in a matter of 6 months. Shortly after I had accepted, I found out I was pregnant, which we had been trying for many, many years. And so you can look at it as a bad thing, or you can just literally look at it as everything that you need to happen is right in front of you. So that's the path my husband and I chose to take. And so in September, I think we started in August, and in September, I had a baby. Well, started school in August, September, had a baby, moved cross country and left the military in December. Yeah. And started at Amazon in January. So just a little bit of time.
Well, I love your story because it's such a great example for our prospective students that life continues to happen while people are in this program. I think there is this desire, Courtney, maybe you remember this from your prospective student journey and thinking about getting started in an executive MBA program. You kind of want to find that perfect time where everything like lines up and you just have all this time to focus on the program. And it's just not realistic. It's just not how life works. So, you know, things don't remain static. And there may be a few people who are able to execute upon that. But the reality, at least having been around executive MBA students for about 6.5 years, is that things continue to happen. Yeah. Life happens. Job stuff happens. You know, partner, spouse, whomever gets it's another opportunity. You get an opportunity. Babies are born. You know, all this stuff.
Yep.
And so I appreciate that part of your story in particular, because I think it's good for our prospective students to hear that all of that did happen. Exciting, yes, but a lot to think about as an executive MBA student, and yet you're still here. You're progressing back through the program.
Yeah, I would say there are a few things that should stop you. Really, the only thing that would stop you is your mind's not set. Either your mind's not ready for it, i.e. you're not passionate about it enough, because that you have to be passionate about it. You can't sit in these classes, mostly because it's just not fulfilling and rewarding to you. And you're not paying back dividends to yourself if you're just, you know, phoning it in. That's just not a way to live life. And it's not in true Darden fashion to come to class that way. So I just wouldn't recommend it otherwise. But if your mind can do it and you're willing to work with other people, no problems. What I love about this class and what I've seen more and more, especially once again, like we have a lot of military, but another thing that has been unique about our class is the amount of children born. We have had male, female, just family dynamic across so many babies brought into the Darden family. And it is just that, like they've been brought into the Darden family. I constantly get questions and jokes about, you know, how far are we in the program? Well, I know we're, you know, this far based on my baby's walking or he's running, which is kind of a cool dynamic. I've thought about whether I'm going to write a poem or a kind of story. I'm not sure yet. I'm still trying to put it together, but I thought about it in the fact of like the infancy of the program was literally a baby. And that's what I had at the start. And as I watch my son grow up, there are often times where I reflect and kind of look at the program at the same time and think, you know, there were times where I was really struggling and he was struggling to sleep and I was struggling to, you know, cope. And I look at that and I look now where he's running and communicating and he's really picking things up and kind of look at, you know, that's where my Darden journey is, right? Like I'm just getting in that final stretch. I'm starting to really become who I am. I know more about myself. I mean, it's kind of fun, you know, it's really funny to like look at the two side by side. I see parallels in my classmates that you've just seen the growth in the last year. And I think when we sit and talk, sometimes we're just so astounded at how much you can grow in a program that people think is so in your mind. When people think about residence versus executive, they think part-time, right? But it's the exact opposite. I mean, it is a full program, right? You get every bang dollar for your buck. You're getting everything you need and more if you want to invest it, right? Like it's also based on your investment. So I just think it's really fun to watch the growth process for, you know, the last little bit of a year. So that's cool.
Well, two things. One, I really appreciate your note about passion being necessary for this step in your life and career, you know, coming to an MBA program. One of the things that we always highlight for students is you get out of this what you put into it. And if you think about the learning experience at Darden, you're showing up prepared and ready to engage in a conversation in class. I mean, that is the social contract of this learning experience. That is what the whole thing depends upon. So passion is a necessary ingredient. The other thing that I really enjoy about what you just said is the sort of poetic aspect of, you know, as your son is maturing over this time, you're growing as well. I mean, that's a very powerful visual. And I'm sure it is having like your son right there next to you, kind of doing new things and gaining new skills and all of this kind of stuff while you're going through the program.
That's been the constant joke since the program kind of started a lot on Zoom. I was one that for personal reasons needed to wait a long time before I came back in person, not to mention the fact that we lived far away. So I wanted to, you know, maximize my time at home. So once we went back in person, I was a little bit hesitant, like being 100% honest, because I just wasn't sure if it was what I needed to do. But I will say that Darden has put a lot of thought in the program team and everybody into the program and why it is the way it is, because I in person have just blossomed into a completely new person. So it was almost like I got to go through two programs because I learned a ton right through Zoom, but you also have the distractions of life around you. And when we're in Roslyn, I'm just like so focused, and it's just a great opportunity to really immerse yourself in everything that you need. And you learn things that you never imagined you would learn, and things that I didn't even know were possible, in the workforce and all these different things. So it's exciting. I really enjoyed, I've enjoyed it a lot.
Well, I appreciate everything you've shared thus far. Let's talk a little bit about starting a program, being a new executive MBA student that first year. You're juggling a lot. I think our listeners are well aware of that at this point. What was that process like? Were there any learning curves for you?
If I'm 100% transparent, I don't know that I would say there was a learning curve to the learning process, just because I had just, you know, previously being in the military, you're in flight school, you're constantly learning. So I think the ability to like, you know, your typical, from a lot of people you hear, I haven't been in school in so long. That wasn't necessarily my fear, because I kind of lived in an academic life. So I like picking up information, taking notes, studying, that wasn't my issue. To be honest, it was just knowing my limits and reaching out. I've sat with Laura, I've sat with different people in the program team, and I've had those moments, and I know other people in the program have too. And it's why, I feel comfortable, you know, being very honest about it, is that, you know, you get vulnerable, and there are times where you have to call someone and you have to say, listen, this personal thing happened to me and I don't think I can do this anymore. And then you have a heart to heart with them and they talk you through it, or they're really great. When I first got pregnant, I was really worried, and I've talked to other soon to be moms in other classes after us and before us, or prospective students. And I always leave that out there, you know, feel free to contact me if you have questions. But it really helped, right? There's a network of people, and by talking to them and saying like, is it going to be easy? No. Is it going to be absolutely, you know, there's going to be rough things? Yes. But it's doable, right? Like there's nothing to stop you if you're passionate, like we talked about. If you're passionate about it, like it will happen. It may not be pretty, but it will happen, right? It may not be the way you want it to, and your dream of, you know, having all your notes and highlights and all these different things. Like, trust me, I would have loved to have been the student that I was, you know, through flight school or even in college, but that's not the person I came to the table with. You know, I am literally the person on Zoom and, you know, breastfeeding and taking notes and having class at the same time, because life is that, right? And I appreciated that my, you know, fellow students and the professors and everyone understood that. And that was the best part I could say of an executive program, is I want that, I want that recognized. And I love that Darden accepts and embraces that. Like there are nights we didn't see this much during the weekends, because that's, you know, you're supposed to be 100% there, but on weeknights there are people who often have a child who's coming to say goodnight, comes into the picture and then goes back out, right? And I think that speaks to what society is right now. Companies, I'm just loving seeing where companies are going, societally, governance wise. They're choosing to emphasize and put importance on the family, and that work-life balance is a thing that you are responsible for to your employees. And I really value that, because this is part, right? It's what we do. It's our passion in life. It's our career, but it is not all of us, right? Your employer is not going to be at home with you. And if they choose not to be your employer anymore, you go home to someone else. So you need to make sure you have really good, balanced life on all ends. So I think I went kind of tailored off on you, but I do appreciate everything that Darden has given me and that what I've discovered so far.
Well, I will say, I mean, for us, having been on some academic prep sessions with students over the summers and getting to see people's kids and pets, and I mean, it's this world. We don't always, even as admissions folks, we might hear about it as part of the application process. Like, it's humanizing in a really important way. All of these people, pets included, probably, you know, I would say are part of the MBA journey for our students. You know, these are people who are impacted by the student being in the program. You know, they're supporting the student. They're excited for the student. You know, it's a collective effort. And that's one of the things I always love about graduation, is we finally get to spend time in person with everyone's family and put some additional sort of depth to this student's story and experience and this whole raft of people that have been with them through the 21 months of the program.
I love that. And I feel as though, and this is something that's really only more solidified, that the decision I made was the right one, and that I could not be more happy. One, for the fact that, to your point, we're building every day towards, you know, something else. And I feel like with Darden, I'm not getting, it's not contractual in that, you're giving me an education and I'm taking it to do something with it. It's almost like I'm being entrusted with this knowledge and this calling in life. I feel like Darden has given me almost this torch of, you're going to go out there and you're going to be this, you know, this business leader, and you're going to make change. So I in being a military minded person coming from that, it is just invigorating. I'm so excited to take everything I've learned and to know that my Darden knowledge and my community that I've learned, that we're going to go back out there. And no better point in that, you know, in this week we have finals, and yet we still have, you know, carved out time to have nonprofit meetings on how to learn about nonprofits, how to become part of a board. And I sat there and kept thinking, it's not just about learning spreadsheets and all these other things, or it's not just about those, you know, other types of skills of ethics and stuff. It's about you being expected to do something with it. We have educated you and we have given you the tools. We need you to change the world. And I love that, right? I didn't go to school just to, you know, transactionally make something happen. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to benefit. My family will from, you know, hopefully financial means and other things. But at the end of the day, that doesn't fill up my soul, right? So I'm so excited that, you know, from now on, because we're already talking about what are we going to do after as a class together? I don't see an end for it. From Darden as a perspective, it's a lifelong journey, but it's really something that I'll carry with me and proudly go into the work that I do to show, you know, what I've been taught and where I'm going, and try and give back, because I've been entrusted with this knowledge of how to be a good leader and how to be a good business person. And so I don't know, the world has so many things going on. So it's nice to know that Darden's kind of putting back those people in the world. It makes me feel good, right?
Well, let's talk about your current work. You mentioned you started a new job during the program. So not only a new addition to your family, but also a new role, which, by the way, wasn't in Northern Virginia. You're calling in from Texas. And so you had to move across the country, start a new job. Tell us about your job and, you know, how are things going? Obviously a busy time of year for you.
Yeah. So I will, once again, full transparency. When I started the job, it was in the middle of the Texas snowpocalypse. So I literally moved here, and on day two of moving here, and I didn't have any of my things, mind you. So it was me, my three, who's 4 months old at that time. Well, maybe it was 5 or 6 months. Anyways, he was little, and my husband in a rental with rental furniture, and then snowpocalypse hit. And cause that's what they called it here. And it was absolutely the worst. I'm from the Midwest, and snow is not a scary thing, but in Texas it is a scary thing for sure. They're not used to it. So, it started off very interestingly. I would say it was rough at first, but once we got over that hurdle, got into the work, there are a lot of things that I enjoy about it. I'm an operations manager. I oversee, you know, I think we were chatting about it, like over 500,000 packages on my, in my site go through in a day. My shift alone, I work the morning shift. It does around 300,000 packages. So it's a lot of work, right? Getting 500 people to get packages through on mechanical equipment and out. And some of it's done manually. So motivating them. And I enjoy the work. I really do. Jarden has done a lot for me in showing me what I am worth, giving me confidence in my abilities, knowing how to articulate them, knowing what they are called, knowing, you know, what other things are offered and out there in the world. So, I will actually be looking for a new role here very soon. And I'm in the process of doing that through my Darden connections, which I never expected. I mean, I think I thought that I would come, you know, do a little bit of class and learn a lot. And then it would be very like much my own journey. But it's just really just, I don't even have the words. It's just catapulted into this huge thing to where I don't even have to say anything, but like classmates bring me things like, hey, this really seems like something that's great for you. Or so all of that started to come to my attention in the last 6 months. And because of it, I really sat down and thought, you know, oh, I think I've always thought that this is what I was supposed to do, and didn't realize that you could live your heart of heart dream of dreams, and that that role exists in the world. It's kind of like before YouTube was like before YouTuber and being an influencer was a job. Like I didn't realize that I could go through and make transformational change in a company, and that role exists. And so through some of our speakers, a lot of our professors, I have been exposed to industries that I never really realized. Like I was in a marketing class with Raj, and he mentioned IDEO. And I was like, what is this thing called IDEO, which is a company that comes in and works on creative design projects in your company. And those are things that I have been doing on the side at every job I've ever done. Never, you know, I don't get paid extra for it. I've just always done project management because I was good at it. Never occurred to me that I could be doing what was passionate on the side all the time. And so Darden really opened my eyes. My classmates showed me, and the professors showed me that that's a pathway, and one that not only like, could I take it, but I should, there's nothing stopping me. There's like, things are scary. Changes are, you know, scary to do, right? People don't like change. However, the last year showed me that like change is good. Do it, leap, might as well. Cause what's the worst that could happen? It doesn't work out, then change your job. And we learned that from the entrepreneurial classes, that failure is not failure, right? It just shows that you're like accomplishing something, and you've learned, and you're moving. And so it's just very, yeah, invigorating. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the next 6 months. I think at graduation, I will probably have another role, and we probably will have moved again. But it's all in the cards, right? It's just, you have to keep trying and working until you're fulfilled. And so I'm just not quite there, but I have a road there. So I'm excited for it.
Well, Courtney, that's a natural segue to the next question that I always ask our guests. And it's, you know, a little bit around what are you looking forward to in the months to come? I mean, this is an exciting time in the program. I always note when I say that, though, it's also a little bit of a bittersweet time, because it's such a special thing to be going through the program with your classmates. And, you know, that does have an expiration date, so to speak. So it won't be forever, but you will obviously have those connections for a very long time, and people come back for reunions and all of that kind of stuff. But your time in the program is drawing near. So what are you looking forward to?
Yeah. Let's see. I think this year in comparison to last year, so last year was really just trying to like find a rhythm. And so this year we really have a rhythm. You're used to the normal Tuesday, Thursday, weekend classes, and you can kind of turn your brain onto that very quickly. And your preparation is much less because you know how to quickly get your head into a case study type mindset, or you know what that professor wants, or you just can get into it a little bit faster. So I find that your ability to pivot and do things is much easier. I will say, caveating for 2 seconds, because I feel like it's not fair without saying, and people need to know that you're not always going to come to everything 100% prepared. But I think that is indicative of your life, right? There are days where you show up to a meeting because you found out 20 minutes ago and they want to know what your plan is. And you're thinking, what plan? I didn't even know I needed to have a plan. But the reality is, like, trust yourself. You're here for a reason. And Brett, you tell that to me, and you've told it to lots of people, that like, there's no imposter syndrome. Like, you have been chosen. You are where you're at for a reason. And so reach into what that reason could be, know what your skills are, and like maximize them. And so there are times where I haven't been the most prepared, but I've reached out, I've been vulnerable. I've told people like, hey, I'm, you know, just had my learning team helped me a lot, or different people, or I've actually joined other learning teams because I've been at a point where I'm like, hey, I need more assistance here or there. And so like, if you need to, you can reach out, right? Like, constantly find what you need and then give when you can. And that's the big piece. But from this perspective, the next few months, sorry, sidetracked back to topic at hand. But for the next few months, I'm really excited for these specialized courses. While I really did, I love traveling. Being away from baby that long isn't really the most, for me, I don't really like to be away that long. So I'm really excited that some of them turned virtual, because I took the virtual Israel class and I hadn't expected to do anything but one, you know, global course. And I absolutely loved it. It was just phenomenal. Yael and the team just did so great. I have never been so, and I've traveled, right? The military allows me to have traveled. I've lived in other countries. And I just learned so much. And so I have signed up for every other virtual global that we have. And I'm so excited to do it. So now I'm going to be, like, we got India coming up, Japan, China. I think that's all of them. Yeah. So I like, it completely changed my idea. So I'm really looking forward to those classes. They're full weeks. They're immersive. You know, you get, they're going to give you money so that I can like go cook. That's awesome. I can go cook Indian food, and that's a project for class. Like, it's just great. And it speaks to that. It's not always just about a book. It's not always just about, you know, one type of learning. You have to really embrace all types, all people, and see that. So that I'm excited for that. I'm really excited to start as we move towards the end and go to LR2. I know based on what we did in LR1 that there will be a lot of reflection. And I love that the program, especially with Wicked Problems and other things, takes a lot of time. And I know people don't necessarily, you hear the criticism. A lot of people are like, oh, I got to do another pulse. I got to reflect again. And they don't like it because it's time, right? It's like people who don't want to journal. It's because you don't want to take the time. But it's like any good meditation that you do regularly, it really gives back to you. And what I have found more than anything is I love having that dedicated time. So I'm really looking forward to having that dedicated time in Charlottesville to reflect, to put closure, right? Like, cause that would be the worst thing for the program, just to like educate, and then just be like, out into the world you go, but not have closure. So I'm looking forward to the time with classmates and to get that closure and to see that. And then on a very just tangible, small note, I've never been to a graduation. So I'm really excited to actually walk. I've been an athlete for so long that I've never walked the stage. So I'm kind of excited to just like be in a cap and gown. I've never had one. High school, college, and even in the military, I was always doing something during the time. So I never actually attended. So I'm really excited for that.
Well, it probably goes without saying, but for our listeners who are just beginning to get to know the program, May in Charlottesville, Virginia, it's a nice place to be, particularly on University of Virginia is known for having like its own language about things, right? It's not campus. It's not it's grounds, you know, your first year, second year, third year, fourth year, no freshmen, et cetera, which, you know, it's a positive thing. You're continually learning throughout your life. You can never be a senior at anything. And of course, it's not necessarily graduation, it's finals exercise, I think is the way it's known. But
and I haven't been, so it's going to be crazy. Yeah. I've yet to been to Charlottesville, so this is going to be just a crazy, you know, May. It's just going to be so exciting.
So for some of our listeners who may be hearing what you just said, that this will be your first time really in Charlottesville, worth noting that your class did begin virtually. A lot of that had to do with where things stood with the pandemic in August 2020, when LR1 for your class, the class of 2022, rolled around. Just felt like it was the safest decision for everyone involved, and also maybe the most equitable decision too. Different comfort levels, different students with underlying health conditions, and we did not want there to be a bifurcated student experience at the very beginning of the program, where it's really important for people to all feel like they're starting together. And the idea of like some people being in person, some people being virtual for that first week together just didn't feel right to us. So I did just want to share that context for our listeners.
Yeah, and I think you're being humble in that the program team, for my perspective, and a lot of the classmates said this as well, they really embraced us and had lots of town halls, and we were able to really chat about what we were feeling. And we've done that multiple times in the program because of different life events and things that have been happening in the world. And we really have, I love that Darden allows the cohort to kind of grow and dictate, and it is like always evolving. Like no, like every cohort's a little different. Classes are different. They switch them around based on like feedback. So I like that in a way it's evolving based off of the needs of, you know, the environment, right? You're still learning the same like cohesive information. However, the way in which it's delivered, when it's delivered, how it's delivered is always changing based on the needs of the class. So that has been great. I think it was a great call. Everyone had their own opinions, right? We might not have always agreed. But at this point, like we came back when, you know, we started all virtually. Some of us came back off and on when we felt that it was, you know, we gave people the ability when they were able to, and then we all came back together this fall. And it's been great. It's really been great.
All right, Courtney, one last question for you. What's your best advice, tip, something that you would like to share with the prospective student listeners we have checking out this episode?
Overall, in the journey that you're about to go on, I think you have to look at multiple places. I think you have to do that just to soothe your self-doubt, to soothe any questions that you have. But I really think when you're landing on something, you need to pick a program that supports you as a person, not as a professional, you as a person and your vision. So if that is completely business-minded and very competitive, and, you know, literally spreadsheets, 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 maybe not, you know, maybe you need to look for a place that is purely that. If you are looking for a cohesive, long-term, lifetime commitment of, you know, support and kind of business, I don't know, development, then this is more for you. Like I will be taking classes at Darden and or doing speech, you know, I will be involved for a long time. So I think you need to really pick something that you're ready to dive into so that you are the best member of the cohort that you could be. For Darden in particular, if it's the journey that you choose, I think unlike what a lot of people may have expected or be told based on other people's input, some people will give you, you know, my MBA experience at this place, or it's very different, right? Darden is different. And so you have to really, you know, ask people who have been in the program and know your own self. So I think being vulnerable is huge. You need to know when you need to put the flag up. And if, even if you're not sure, ask. Like the program team is literally there and will answer their phone at any time. Like there's somebody who will answer their phone and they want to. They want to help you if you're having a moment and you need help. So reach out early and often, seek help from people, kind of get to know your cohort so you know who has the strengths, because you may feel like they may not want to give that information out, but they do. It's not competitive in nature. Like from a member's perspective, Like, we want everyone in our class to succeed. And we've said many times, if somebody is struggling, let us know, because we all want to be there at the end together. And I know that from speaking to other people, that's not how every program is. Like, it's sometimes it comes to like a rank and file type, and that's just not how Darden is. Like, it's communal. We want to get all there. We want everyone to succeed in every aspect of what they're trying to accomplish. I think you should fill in your gaps. So for me, I'm not in the numbers biz every day in and out. So I'm taking classes that will challenge that, right? Like, I take data analytics and I do it knowing that I've partnered with classmates who know it and have asked them before I even signed up, can you like be my buddy in this class and help me get through it? And if they said yes, then I took the class. And if I didn't have 100% confidence, or you reach out to the professor early on and say, hey, like, is this for me? But you really have to push yourself. If that's a gap that you have, don't leave this program not having filled in any possible, question you have. Don't doubt it. Just go into it. And then lastly, I would say, discover and investigate. Really discover who you are. Take all the reflective opportunities and, pay genuine time to them and investigate in other things. You may have never thought that entrepreneurial ventures is something that you'd want to do, or something you ever considered, like maybe healthcare was not something you thought about. But then you sit in a Friday Night Lights type thing and you're like, oh my gosh, this is this person, the way they're talking, their passion, that's what I want to do. You have to expose yourself. So be open, really investigate, discover all the different possibilities, and you may end up like me where you're like, oh, I totally want to change my career field. And that's okay. It's totally great. You have all the equipment that you need, and you'll get the confidence through Darden to, kind of step out there and be you, just with a new little, what do they call it? Flair. You have a little bit of a Darden flair on you. So you're good to go.
Well, Courtney, it's always a pleasure catching up with you. Thank you so much. For taking some time out of a very busy time. You mentioned hundreds of thousands of packages. I can only imagine how many packages maybe have accrued during the time that we're recording this conversation. So I'm sure it's quite a few, but thank you so much for making time for the podcast. It's great catching up with you. And we're obviously so proud of you and your classmates for all that you've accomplished and everything that you've done, the impact that you've had on the program thus far, and what's to come. For y'all as you close things out here and look ahead. So congratulations. Well,
I think I'm sure your messages on your LinkedIn and different things have to just explode on your birthday or different times, because people find you very endearing. You are one of many that are just extremely helpful. You really speak to what Darden is. So I appreciate your time. I appreciate, what you guys are doing by allowing people. I listened to these podcasts when I was deciding, and just finding that people are in the same place you are and that it's totally doable. And you may be, like me, about to go back out there and get someone's Christmas package to them on time. I'm sure. And this time, you may have even ordered something on Amazon. It's on your way. It's on its way. It'll get to you. Don't worry. But all in all, it's really more that, what are you and who are you as a person? So I just really value that you guys care and that you're constantly creating a program that is about that.
And that was my interview with Courtney Johnson, a second year student in our Executive MBA class of 2022. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's EXEC, MBA, at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.